Blog Talk Radio.
It was a wonderful homegoing for my father-in-law, and I can do nothing more than say thank you. Thank you, thank you, and thank you again for being there for me and for some of you being there with me. We are going to not delay this morning. We're going to get into our word, and as always, it is a good word. As many know, we completed our Psalms, our Proverbs, and our New Testament Hebrew word on Friday. So today we will be strictly in Ezekiel. And all I can say is, whew, it is a great word. God does not play. He don't play with us. He didn't play with his folks back in the day. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It is the truth. Hallelujah. I want to be on the Lord's side. That's all I can say. Father God, thank you again for this beautiful, wonderful day. We ask you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Father, let your healing power flow through us to those that are sick. Hallelujah. For Lord, by his stripes, we are healed. We are made free. We are set up for a future and not torn down because of our past. Father God, I thank you again for your grace and your mercy, traveling graces and mercy that brought me home and my family home safely, Lord God. I thank you for all that you have done in my life and in the lives of my family. Ask your continued blessings, oh God. And Lord God, as we get ready to read your word, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your sight. For Father God in heaven, you are my strength. I say it again, you are my strength. You are my strength, Lord, and my redeemer. I could not do this without you, God. And I ask your increase and my decrease. Let these words touch hearts, minds, and spirits, Lord God. Give us an understanding of the word, Lord God, that we may move forward, that we may be at peace, that things may fall into place that need to fall into place. For Lord God, you are, hallelujah, I say it again, my strength. And it's in Jesus' name that I lift up this word this morning, asking you, Lord God, to be in charge, as always, of my life. Be in charge, Lord, and move forward as we move forward. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanking God for his grace and his mercy. Thanking God again for each and every one of you who are with me today. Ooh, I thank God. You know, I just gotta go over a couple of things that, you know, I was listening to some word yesterday and just going through things. And it was talking about satanic attacks. And, you know, and that was from Dr. Stanley. I was watching him on yesterday morning. You know, because I get my word in, too, on the Sabbath. I do try my best to keep it holy. Or just to have some time alone and quiet time and just time to reflect. And yesterday in my lesson, it was talking about facing satanic attacks and that all have the ability to take us. They deceive us, they divide us, and they destroy us. Deceive us with temptations, divide us with excuses, and destroy us with choice. Wow, what a word. It says the word of God is our greatest defense against the evil one. For remember, the wages of sin is death. Confess your sins and take your weaknesses to God. And I thought that was such a powerful word, you know, and as I was studying this word this morning, we understand that sometimes we want to give Satan or the evil one, or if you want to call him the devil, credit for things that he really didn't do, that God did it. And, you know, and as we read our Ezekiel words, you'll understand God does some stuff. He allows some stuff to happen to get our attention because we sometimes forget who's in charge. We forget that we report to God. God doesn't report to us, and that he gives us the blessings he deemed for us, not us trying to do us and kind of sort of put God in the mix. God is always in the mix. God is always there. God is in charge of everything. Come to that understanding and realization, everything else falls into place. That God is in charge. Not me, not you, not us, but God. God is in charge. And the word that I got this morning says, as I live, says the Lord God, all souls are mine. I'm going to say that again. As I live, says the Lord, all souls are mine. So we are all God. We don't belong to ourselves. Yes, he has given us free will. Yes, he's given us choice. Choice to mess up. But he also has given us a choice to clean up through his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So let us clean up today. Let us move forward today. Let us understand that our soul, this soul, earthly vessel that we call a body, that folks get all bent out of shape over the color of, are the ethnicity of, that we forget that inside of is our soul. And the question becomes, is your soul light or is your soul dark? It has nothing to do with the color of your skin or the ethnicity of your family. But it has everything to do with, or you a child of God or you're not. Do you love your neighbor or do you not? Do you follow the Ten Commandments and the statutes and laws of God or do you not? How do you treat your fellow man will be important when you stand before God, because all souls belong to God. The good soul, the bad soul, the ugly soul, they all belong to God. We are his and he is ours. And let's get into our word this morning, because this is all about the word. And it says this in Ezekiel chapter 15. And it says this, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any other wood? The vine branch, which is among the trees of the forest, is wood taken from it to make any object? Or can men make a peg from it to hang any vessel on? Question. It's a good question. And it goes on to tell us. Instead, it is thrown into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both ends of it, and its middle is burned. Is it useful for any work? Indeed, when it was whole, no object could be made from it. How much less will it be useful for any work when the fire has devoured it and it is burned? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I will give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them. They will go out from one fire, but another fire shall devour them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I set my face against them, thus I will make the land desolate, because they have persisted in unfaithfulness, says the Lord God. Chapter 16, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut. Nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling cloth. No eyes pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed, your time was the time of love. So I spread my wings over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrist and a chain on your neck, and I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothes clothing was fine linen, silk, and embroidered with cloth. Ooh, God dressed us up. He dressed them up. And let's keep going. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, but it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord God. But you trusted in your own beauty. Play the harlot because of your fame, and poured out your harlotry on everyone passing by who would have it. You took some of your garments and adorned multicolored high places for yourself, and placed a harlot on them. Such things should not happen nor be. You have also taken your beautiful jewelry from my gold and my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images and played the harlot with them. You took your embroidered garments and covered them, and you set my oil and my incense before them. Also my food, which I gave you, the pastry of fine flour, oil, and honey, which I fed you, you set it before them as sweet incense, and so it was, says the Lord God. Moreover, you took your sons and your daughters, whom you bore to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your acts of harlotry a small matter that you have slain my children and offered them up to them by causing them to pass through the fire? And in all your abominations and acts of harlotry, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare, struggling in your blood. Then it was so after all your wickedness. Woe, woe to you, says the Lord God, that you also built for yourself a shrine and made a high place for yourself in every street. You built your high places at the head of every road and made your beauty to be abhorred. You offered yourself to everyone who passed by and multiplied your acts of harlotry. You also committed harlotry with the Egyptians, your very fleshly neighbors, and increased your acts of harlotry to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I stretched out my hand against you, diminished your allotment, and gave you up to the will of those who hate you, the daughters of the Philistines, who are ashamed of your lewd behavior. You also played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were insatiable. Indeed, you played the harlot with them and still were not satisfied. Moreover, you multiplied your acts of harlotry as far as the land of the traitor, Chaldea, and even then you were not satisfied. How degenerate is your heart, says the Lord God, seeing you do all these things that these of a brazen harlot. You erected your shrine at the head of every road and built your high place in every street. Yet you are not like a harlot because you scorned payment. You are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of your husband. Men make payment to all harlots, but you made your payment to all your lovers and hired them to come to you from all around for your harlotry. You are the opposite of other women in your harlotry because no one solicited you to be a harlot in that you gave payment, but no payment was given you. Therefore, you are the opposite. Now, then, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because your filthiness was poured out and your nakedness uncovered in your harlotry with your lovers and with all your abominable idols and because of the blood of your children, which you gave to them. Surely, therefore, I will gather all your lovers with them, with whom you took pleasure, all those you loved and all those you hated. I will gather them from all around against you and will uncover your nakedness to them that they may see all your nakedness. And I will judge you as the women who break wedlock or shed blood are judged. I will bring blood upon you in fury and jealousy. I will also give you into their hand, and they shall throw down your shrines and break down your high places. They shall also strip you of your clothes, take your beautiful jewelry, and leave you naked and bare. They shall also bring up an assembly against you, and they shall stone you with stones and thrust you through with their swords. They shall burn your houses with fire and execute judgment on you in the sight of many women, and I will make you cease playing the harlot, and you shall no longer hire lovers. So I will lay to rest my fury toward you, and my jealousy shall depart from you. I will be quiet and be angry no more, because you did not remember the days of your youth, but agitated me with all these things. Surely I will also recompense your deeds on your own head, says the Lord God. And you shall not commit lewdness in addition to all your abominations. Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you, like mother, like daughter. And, you know, we've heard that, right? You know, you didn't know that that was actually biblical, like mother, like daughter. That's a biblical word. That is a word in the Word of God. You are your mother's daughter, loathing your husband and children. And you are the sister of your sisters, who loathe their husband and children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. So remember that term. Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you, like mother, like daughter. It's a proverb. Ooh, Lord. And, you know, when you read the Word of God and you get an aha moment. That's what that was, an aha moment. And let's keep going. Verse 46 of chapter 16 of the book of Ezekiel. Your elder sister is Samaria, who dwells with her daughters to the north of you, and your younger sister, who dwells to the south of you, says Sodom, and her daughters, you did not walk in their way, not act according to their abominations. But as if that were too little, you became more corrupt than they in all their ways. As I live, says the Lord God, neither your sister Sodom nor your daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. And, you know, we hear people talking about that sodomy was all about the homosexuality, that God destroyed it. But God is telling us in his word why he destroyed Sodom. And this is what it says. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride. They were prideful. Had fullness of food, which means they had a lot, and abundance of idleness. They were wealthy. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor, didn't care about poor folks, or the stranger, or the needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. And we all know what them abominations were, lying, stealing, cheating, And yes, homosexuality was an abomination to God and is an abomination to God. You know, and I'm not putting anybody down. I don't know what's going on between you and God. Your situation is between you and God, and I will not judge anybody because it is not my place to judge anyone. That'll be, they will stand just like I will before God. So we need to get out of that. One sin is more wicked than another sin. Sin is sin. So if you're an adulterer, if you are a liar, if you are a cheat, that's an abomination too. So we need to stop getting ourselves on this haughty, I'm so much better than this group of people or that group of people. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and one sin is just as bad as another sin. So get off your high horses, and I'm just going to say that and leave it alone. But understand, hospitality, I just brought all this together, was a big sin against Sodom. You know, when you wanted to commit rape instead of being hospitable, God said, not today. And that was it. Chapter 16 of Ezekiel, verse 51. Samaria did not commit half of your sins, but you have multiplied your abominations more than they, and have justified your sisters by all the abominations which you have done. You who judge your sisters bear your own shame also, because the sins which you committed were more abominable than theirs. They are more righteous than you. Yes, be disgraced also, and bear your own shame, because you justified your sisters. You know, there was folks that say, this is all, he's talking about Israel. I hope y'all understand that when he's talking about his daughter, he's talking about Israel and Judah and what they did. They became idolaters. They was hitting every top of the top 10. They was doing it all. And they was outdoing Sodom, and they was outdoing Samaria. Because, you know, they say the Samaritans were like, you know, they the half-breeds. But, you know, I tell you one thing, they wasn't doing as much as you. So let's see what the rest of the Lord says in his word. He says, when I bring back their captives and captives of Sodom and her daughters and the captives of Samaria and her daughters, then I will also bring back the captives of your captivity among them, that you may bear your own shame and be disgraced by all that you did when you comforted them. When your sister Sodom and her daughter return to their former state, and Samaria and her daughter returns to their former state, then you and your daughters will return to your former state. But your sister Sodom was not a byword in your mouth in the days of your pride, before your wickedness was uncovered. It was like the time of the reproach of the daughters of Syria and all those around her, and of the daughters of the Philistines who despised you everywhere. You have paid for your lewdness and your abomination, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, I will deal with you as you have done, who despised the oath by breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your older and your younger sisters, for I will give them for you for daughters, and not because of my covenant with you. And I will establish my covenant with you, that you shall know that I am the Lord, that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore because of your shame, when I provide you an atonement for all you have done, says the Lord God. You know, we love to throw out everybody's stuff, and you did this and you did that, and I remember when we all fall short. Every last one of us, there's not one of us that is better than the other. We all fall short of God's glory, and we thank God for his grace, which is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thanking God for that blood that covers us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, and anoints us with the oil that only can come from salvation. Ezekiel 16:6, I said to you, in your blood live. We owe our very lives to God. Without him, we are a mess. without him, we wallow in our own blood, unable to grow and thrive. He sees us in our moral ugliness, yet says to us, live. God gave us a second chance through the blood of Jesus, through his son dying on Calvary's cross for our sins. God gave us a second chance. God did it. God did it. We are blessed. How can I confront a believer who has fallen spiritually? God gave Ezekiel a tremendous and ominous calling to comfort his family about their sin. Man of God, he told the prophet, cause Jerusalem to know our abominations. Even so, at times, he will call us to do the same thing. So how can we manage it effectively? Sometimes God's going to call you to call out evil. God's going to cause you to call out abominations. God's going to cause you to say some things that in the flesh you are like, oh, no, I can't say that. Lord, fuck to be ready to beat me up. I can't say that. God, because if I say that, nobody's going to want to listen to me. They're going to talk about me. God, I can't say that. But this is what the word says. First, we must watch the spirit in which we confront the fallen one. We must be firm but gentle. We are to confront them in a spirit of gentleness. Galatians 6 and 1. Hurting people can be as fragile as glass. They don't need our condemnation. Ooh, is that a word? We don't go to them in anger or to vent our hurt. We go gently and remaining sensitive to their agony. We should not automatically inability express grief as a lack of remorse or repentance. They may suffer so greatly that they can't get close to the physical tears for which their souls weep. We must remain firm in our efforts to bring the sin into the open, but we need to do so with gentleness and respect. You can't get in screaming all at somebody, you lying. You know you're lying, and you're a low-down dirty witch. You're a low-down dirty dog. You're a low-down this. You're a low-down that. You are this and that and the other. And why are you here? And da-da-da-da-da. We beat them down with the word. We beat them down with our fingers. We beat them down with our condemnation. We beat them down with every part of us not understanding. We had our own demons at some point in time. And some of us still got some demons that we trying to get rid of and praying that God don't let seven more come back in their place. Jesus took seven demons out of Mary Magdalene, okay? And she became a great woman of God. We got to stop being condemners and being those that will lift up, pray, wash off, anoint, and fill with the Holy Spirit those that are suffering. Because when you start filling up with the Holy Spirit, the enemy has no place to hide because the light starts to shine on them. And when the light shines, they have no spot. They got to go. But then you pray, Lord, don't let them come on me. Because sometimes we get so high and mighty that we forget to be humble and gracious and loving and kind. And this is what it says. Second, we are to confront someone in the spirit of humility. But if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Galatians 6 and 3. We can't go with a haughty attitude as if we could never fall into such sin. That kind of attitude deeply offends God. We have to remember that we are all vulnerable to sin. If we go to hurting people with the attitude that we are way above them, they certainly won't respond to our efforts. In fact, we only build a wall that will obstruct the restoration process, which is the object of our confrontation. Considering yourself least, you also be tempted. Galatians 6:1 means to examine ourselves with a sharp eye. before we go judging Sister Susie, we got to judge ourselves. Before we go talking about boo-boo and them down the street, we got to talk about what's going on in our own house. We got to cut it out. Because so many times, we as men and women of God create church hurt. For I've been confronted and beat down and talked about and vilified so much that they leave the church and we create more demons. Because we created a heart that says, you know what, I don't want to be like them. I don't want they Jesus. And we create that hurt that comes into their heart, that pain that comes into their heart. We did it. And God will hold us accountable. Third, we are to go in love. Galatians 6 and 2 uses a word that means heavy burden. We need to get under the heavy burden and help the offenders carry it. We need to vicariously feel what they are feeling. We must go with the right spirit, or we may as well not go at all. Those who walk with the Father are to gently, humbly, and lovingly confront the straying person, and then get under the load with the saint who has sinned. Confrontation is never easy, but it is often a prerequisite to restoration. The real goal, yes, you got to confront some things, but do it in love. But also be really get ready to accept in love what someone may say to you. Don't be just a disher outer. Be able to receive it too. Because none of us are perfect. Ezekiel 16 and 14. It was perfect through my splendor with which I had bestowed on you. Israel forgot that any good thing it had received from God. We should never make the same mistake. Any success, talent, ability, insight, or strength we have comes from Him. We should use it for His glory. None of us have gotten any of the gifts we have by ourselves. They all come from God. Let's keep it moving, y'all, because I did stray a little bit. Ezekiel 17:1 through 18:32. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, pose a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel and say, thus says the Lord God. A great eagle with large wings and long pinions, full of feathers and various colors, came to Lebanon and took from the cedar the highest branch. He cropped off its topmost young twig and carried it to a land of trade. He set it in a city of merchants. Then he took some of the seed of the land and planted it in a fertile field. He placed it by abundant waters and set it like a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. Its branches turned toward him, but its roots were under it. So it became a vine, brought forth the branches, and put forth shoots. But there was another great eagle with large wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine bent its roots toward him and stretched its branches toward him from the garden terrace where it had been planted, that he might water it. And it was planted in good soil for many waters to bring forth branches, bear fruit, and become a majestic vine. Says thus, the Lord God, will it thrive? Will it be not pulled up, pull up its roots, cut off its fruit, and leave it to wither? All of its spring leaves will wither, and no great power or many people will need it to pluck up by its roots. And behold, it is planted. Will it thrive? Will it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? It will wither in the garden terrace where it grows. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, say now to the rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Tell them indeed, the king of Babylon went to Jerusalem and took its king and princes and led them with him to Babylon. And he took the king's offspring and made a covenant with him and put him under oath. He also took away the mighty of the land that the kingdom might be brought low and not lift itself up, but that by keeping his covenant, it might stand. But he rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors to Egypt, that they might give him horses and many people. Will he prosper? Will he, who does such things, escape? Can he break a covenant and still be delivered? As I live, says the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells, who made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he broke with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. Nor will Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company do anything in the war when they keep up a siege mount and build a wall to cut off many persons. Since he despised the oath by breaking the covenant and in fact gave his hand and still did all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath which he despised and my covenant which he broke, I will recompense on his own head. I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and try him there for the treason which he committed against me. All his fugitives with all his troops shall fall by the sword, and those who remain shall be scattered to every wind, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twig a tender one, and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. On the mountain high of Israel, I will plant it, and it will bring forth the boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches they will dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and exalted the low tree, dried up the green tree and made the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Chapter 18. Whew, I told y'all it was a good word this morning. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what do you mean when you use the proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying the fathers have eaten sour grapes, the fathers, excuse me, have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use that proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls, this is our word for this morning, y'all. All souls, saying it one more time, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountain, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity, if he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his flesh, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with clothing, if he has not exalted usury, exacted usury, not taken any increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and executed true judgment between man and woman, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. If he begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things and does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountains or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he has oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, nor restored the pledge, lifted his eyes to the idols, or committed abominations, if he has exalted usury or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. If, however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done, and considered, but does not do likewise, who has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, has not owed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with clothing, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor, and not received usury or increase, but has executed by judgment, and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all his statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. That's highlightable. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he had committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked shall die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? God is not one to judge us poorly. He wants us to change. He wants us to get better. He wants us to follow in his statutes. Come on now. Hallelujah. And our holier than thou don't understand that if you start out good and turn bad, you going to hell. And the one that was bad and turned good is the one that'll go to heaven. The one you judge and may be the one that takes your place. We better stop. Ooh, thank you, Lord. I know where that came from, but I do know it came from. It came from God to just remind us who he is and not us, that we all are going to be judged individually. I won't be judged for my mother, and my mother won't be judged for me. My sons won't be judged for me, and I won't be judged for my sons. We are all individuals, and we'll be judged accordingly. Then as verse 22 says of chapter 18 of Ezekiel, but when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, just talked about that, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because then he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is it not my way which is fair and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness of which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considered and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my way which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent. Turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and give yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. And some life lessons from this word is this. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Ezekiel 17:24, the Lord wants us to remember that he is absolutely sovereign. If a nation rises high, it does so because he planned it. If a nation falls, it does so because he made it happen. God rules among the nations. You know, I was vilified when I told somebody that Donald Trump won the 2016 election because God allowed it. They told me I was all off kilter, but no, God was in charge. And when Donald Trump lost the 2020 election, it was because God did it, because God said it's time for somebody else. So I'm telling you, whatever happens, God is in charge of it all. Don't judge anything until you talk to God first. Come on now. And don't judge at all because it's not your place. Because, again, those who judge will be judged. And this is a word that our word for this morning. All souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. We, all of us, belong to God. As a creator, every human being belongs to God. So all of us on this planet are his offspring. Acts 17 and 28, yet only those who place their faith to God as members of his heavenly family. Galatians 6 and 10. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We are his family, and we need to remember who we belong to. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph. Chapter 19 of Ezekiel. Moreover, take up a lamentation for the prince of Israel and say, what is your mother? A lion? She lay down among the lions, among the young lions. She nourished her cubs. She brought up one of her cubs, and he became a young lion. He learned to catch prey, and he devoured men. The nations also heard of him. He was trapped in their pit, and they brought him with chains to the land of Egypt. When she saw that she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. He roved among the lions and became a young lion. He learned to catch prey. He devoured men. He knew their desolate places and laid waste their cities. The land, which is fullness, was desolate. By the noise of his roaring, then the nation set against him from the province on every side and spread their net over him. He was trapped in their pit. They put him in a cage with chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in nets that his voice should no longer be heard on the mountain of Israel. Your mother was like a vine in your bloodline, planted by the waters, fruitful and full of branches because of many waters. She had strong branches for scepters of rulers. She towered in stature above their thick branches and was seen in her highest. Her height amidst the dense foliage, but she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried her fruit. Her strong branches were broken and withered. The fire consumed them, and now she is planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty land. Fire has come out from a rod of her branches and devoured her fruit, so that she has no strong branch or scepter for ruling. This is a lamentation and has become a lamentation. Chapter 20 of Ezekiel. It came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, have you come to inquire me as I live, says the Lord God? I will not be inquired by you. Will you judge then, son of man? Will you judge them? Then make known to them the abominations of their fathers. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and raised my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Jacob, and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, I raised my hand in an oath to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day, I raised my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into the land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Then I said to them, each of you, throw away the abominations which are before his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they but rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away their abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my namesake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were in, whose sight I have made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, and they might know that I am the Lord who sanctified them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defile my Sabbath. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake, that I should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, full of milk and honey, the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destruction. I did not make an end to them in the wilderness, but I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbath, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. But they profaned my Sabbath. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, I raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the country, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, profaned my Sabbath, and their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. Therefore, I also gave them up to statutes that were not good, and judgments by which they could not live. And I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual gifts, in that they caused all their firstborns to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, and that they might know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, in this too your fathers have blasphemed me by being unfaithful to me when I brought them into the land concerning which I had raised my hand in an oath to give them, that they shall all the high heels, and all they saw all the high heels and all the thick trees. There they offered their sacrifices and provoked me with their offerings. There they also sent up their sweet aroma and poured out their drink offerings. Then I said to them, what is this high place to which you go? So its name is called Bama. You know, we got to understand that God wants us to be better. He loves us more than anything. He wants us to know we are loved and cared for. God is good, and he's in mercy. He endures forever and all time. You know, and I say this morning as we wrap it up. We'll come back and finish up Ezekiel chapter 20 on tomorrow with our Ezekiel word. But I say this morning. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. We will start tomorrow in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 27. But before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And a word for this morning is this. Well, actually yesterday and Friday. So Friday's word was good morning. God will give you strength for every battle. wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. And for yesterday, it was just a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that today we choose to forget the past. We don't want anything to hold us back from what you have in store for our future. We choose forgiveness. We choose peace. Help us by your spirit to press forward into the life of blessings you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. And today is a proverb. He who needs in the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 16 and 20, and I say to you all, have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are children of God, and that you are loved, and that he loves you more than anything. Be blessed and know that God is in charge, because we all are his. All souls are mine, says the Lord our God. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. We will be back tomorrow finishing up our Ezekiel word and moving forward in it. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.